Well, they don't make them like they used to. When I was a kid, if you took a sandwich bag like this and you put some baking soda and a little towel and filled it with vinegar, do you know what would happen? It would build with pressure, and like a dad whose thermostat was touched, it would pop. But they don't make them like they used to, I found out. You kids can come up and watch this if you want to. Wait for it. You gotta wait. Wait for it. Wait for it. They don't make them like they used to. I mean, this could not have more pressure in it. Right? That's as tight as it's going to get. And this is the cheapest sandwich bag you can buy today. Single zip. And it will not pop. I try it at home. I've learned enough to test something before I do it in front of you. And eventually it'll whistle a little bit, but it won't pop. It'll make them like they used to. One time you can say that and be thankful, right? Your 224 for 50 bags goes a lot further than it used to. But the point was that if you wait for it, if you wait, you'll see something wonderful. So you can go back to your seats and we'll keep watching this. It's just carpet cleaner is all that is. Don't worry. Just carpet cleaner. So Randall Ader preached last week, and he did an incredible job of starting our new sermon series where we are looking at characters in the Bible and seeing how God can work wonders through people who are willing. Right? And these aren't fictional characters. We're not talking dragons and wizards. These are real people, like legitimate dudes and gals who lived, who made mistakes, who wrestled with their faith, who doubted their belief, but who ultimately trusted God and who God used to work things together for good. And the cool thing is God still works through imperfect people to accomplish his purposes. And the goal of this sermon series is not to focus on what God can do for us, but what God can accomplish through us. We'll see the way that God used willing people to change the world, and in the process, how he changed that person. We'll find that God works wonders through the willing. Because God is God, right? He is in control. His will be done. He doesn't need us to fulfill his purpose. But how cool that God could use us as part of his plan. So I wrote a prayer that we're going to say together each week to kind of set our hearts and our minds in that direction. And it goes like this. It says, God, you are holy and in control. Thank you for giving me all that I need in Jesus. And since we have all that we need in Jesus, we can say, help me not to ask what you can do for me today, but what you can accomplish through me. Help me to be willing and available for you to use. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's put that on the screen. Let's read it together as a prayer. God, you are holy and in control. Thank you for giving me all that I need in Jesus. Help me not to ask what you can do for me today, but what you can accomplish through me. Help me to be willing and available for you to use. In Jesus' name, amen. So I printed that in your handout. If you want to pray it alone this week or as a family, you can have it, but now I'm going to ask you to do something our culture does not like to do. I'm going to ask you, like we did with this, to wait. We are just waiting. And that feels weird. We don't like to wait, right? We order on the app so we don't have to wait. Drones deliver. Shows stream. Answers arrive immediately. Waiting seems like a waste, right? But wait for it. Today's character in our Uncommon series shows us that God can work wonders through waiting. So while you wait, can I play a song for you? Is Lift.
Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right on. Father Abraham had many
sons. You can stop it. So, have you ever heard a reggae version of Father Abraham? Yeah, man. So in generations past, that banger bounced off Sunday school felt boards. There's a picture for that. I'll just wait. It's hilarious. There you go. Yeah. So that banger bounced off Sunday school felt boards. It rang out over fellowship hall nacho plates and punch bowls. And it's true. Father Abraham has many sons. He also has a wife named Sarah. And the main character of our story today is Sarah, and we will see that God works wonders through Sarah's waiting. So Sarah was married to Abraham, so let's talk about Abraham. Abraham was a man called by God to begin his nation and his family. And the story of Abraham and Sarah is a picture of God's faithfulness, but it also shows how God works through imperfect people. So God called Abraham and he said, I want you to leave your home, I want you to leave your family, and I'm going to use you to build a great nation that will bless all the families of the earth. So Abraham and Sarah, they obeyed, they moved away from everything that was comfortable, everything they knew. Right? No more barbecues in the backyard, no more wiffle ball tournaments in the cul-de-sac. They obeyed God and they left home and they waited. And God promised Abraham, I will give you so many descendants that like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. And they waited. Wars broke out. Abraham and Sarah's nephew was captured. Eventually, the family was reunited, so then, of course, they waited. In the waiting, Abraham got weary, and sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision. So, earlier in the story, Abraham is named Abram, his wife Sarah is Sarai. They're the same people. There's a lot to unpack there, but we're just going to go with Abraham and Sarah, same people. So sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said to him, do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great. But Abram replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? So they waited. In their waiting, Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him. So more waiting. Abraham wanted a son. Sarah wasn't able to have one, so they waited. Eventually, Sarah suggested to Abraham, she said, I've got this servant, her name is Hagar, you should have a baby with her. So Abraham agreed, hopefully with some reluctance. This is a whole other thing. Like anything in the Bible that sounds like, that's crazy. We should look a little closer at it, Right? It seems wild to us that someone would have a servant who wasn't able to have children and tell her husband, well, hey, have a baby with my servant. If that sounds normal to you, we need to talk after this today. But here's the thing. In that culture, at that time, in that place, that was totally normal. That was what their culture would have suggested. Oh, you're not able to have a baby. Let your husband have a baby with your servant. That was what the culture encouraged and practiced. Here's the problem. As God's people, today, as followers of Jesus, we are to be countercultural. Anything that the culture says, here's the simple fix to your problem, should be tested against what God's word tells us. In general, followers of Jesus should look different than the culture that does not follow Jesus. So back then, totally culturally normal, acceptable, that was the problem. That was the mistake they made. They went with their culture. So Abraham, hopefully with reluctance, had a baby with Sarah's servant Abram. She gave him a son, but Sarah ached for a son of her own. So she waited for 13 more years. So after all this waiting, Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was a youthful 90. Just the ripe age for childbearing, right, ladies? Yeah. So God again appeared to Abraham and told him, Sarah, your wife, this is when Abraham's 100 and Sarah's 90. Sarah, your wife, will give birth to a son for you. You will name him Isaac, and I will confirm my covenant with him and his descendants as an everlasting covenant. So Abraham and Sarah had been waiting 25 years from Abraham's original call from God, waiting 13 years since Abraham had a child with Sarah's servant. And finally, God tells them to wait some more. He says, my covenant will be confirmed with Isaac, who will be born to you and Sarah about this time next year. So God's promises were wrapped in waiting. Some of you have been waiting for this quote. The great American philosopher Thomas Petty captured this tension. He said, the waiting is the hardest part. Every day you see one more card, you take it on faith, you take it to the heart. The waiting is the hardest part. So Sarah waited. And she waited. She made mistakes. She waited. Finally, God told her to wait a little more. My covenant, he says, will be confirmed with you next year. Keep waiting. So she was unable to have a child for decades. Anyone who's ever experienced the agony of waiting for pregnancy knows those days become darker and more discouraging. The calendar becomes your controller. Your heart is broken about every 4 weeks, and you wait. And if you are in that place right now, I'm sorry. Christy and I have walked through that, and it's painful. But if you're in that place, I want to tell you, God walks with you. Right? In the story, he walks with Abraham and Sarah through it, and he still walks his children through trials today. And there are people in this very room who would like to wait with you and walk with you. Maybe we can't fix it, but we can carry the burden with you. And I mean it. There are people in this room who want to help. We have some legends of the faith here in our presence today. And we have faithful people who just want to walk with you. So if you are facing some struggle, maybe it doesn't, a lot of us are not struggling with pregnancy. So what if you're struggling with something today, doubt or depression or addiction or any long list of things, if you're struggling, don't isolate yourself. Don't walk alone. It's a lie. The enemy wants you to believe you're alone, but you are not. Help is here. It's offered to you, so take advantage of it. Don't isolate yourself. I'm offering to walk with you or connect you with somebody who can do it better than me, but there's help right here. So as Sarah waited, She became a guru at watching the clock. She was the Wonder Woman of waiting. Hebrews 11:11 tells us it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. Though she was barren and was too old, she still believed that God would keep his promise. So when every date on her calendar had been crossed through several times, she still had faith. She still tried to believe God's promise. When her neighbors tell her, like, put down hope, take up a hobby, she still had faith. She still tried to believe God's promise. When the batteries in her biological clock were expired and corroded, she still had faith. She tried to believe God's promises. And after all of her waiting, Genesis 21 tells us the Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God had said it would. Sarah waited, 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 and God worked wonders through Sarah's waiting. Speaking of waiting, let's try again. Come on, kids. Let's try again, yeah. Maybe this time it'll work. Or maybe I'll just spill more vinegar. Wait for it. Wait for it. Oh, this one. Oh. Now, it's worth a shot, right?
You're so confident.
Try again.
We will. We'll try again. The lid was on it. I'm kidding. Okay, we'll try again in a little while. So Sarah's waiting was not perfect, right? She filled a lot of her waiting with mistakes because she's a real person. But when the Lord appeared to Abraham and Sarah and said that she would have a baby in a year, I like this mistake. Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself and said, "How could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so old?" She says, "I'm not the problem. I mean, he's 100. So the Lord asked why she laughed. And Sarah was afraid, so she denied it. She lied to God and said, I didn't laugh. But the Lord said, "No, you did laugh." This is when we see Sarah's a real person, right? She quits being five letters printed on a page, right? She stops being a name printed on in this book. She becomes a real person, right? Because she had faith, but she wrestled with it. She believed God, but she struggled with that belief. She believed God was good and loving and powerful, but this, come on. 90 years old. This was too much. After all these years of waiting, she struggled to believe that God had something good for her. I do this. Does anybody relate to this? I believe there's a God, and then there has to be, right? But have you been out there? Like, he's busy. What do I matter? And I'm told God's good, but man, my life's bad. I've been told God loves me, but nobody else does. So what do we do with that? Right, this is where we see that Sarah was a real person. But in her waiting, in her doubt, she had faith. She wrestled with it. She believed God. She struggled with it, but she had faith and she believed God. Even with all the reasons not to, she had faith and God worked wonders in her waiting. And this is not a unique theme in God's story, right? God told Noah to build a boat, and he had to wait 75 years to get that bad boy in the water. Joseph waited 13 years as a slave and a prisoner. The Israelites waited as they wandered for 40 years before entering the promised land. That was after they waited 400 years as slaves in Egypt. But God kept his promises. He brought rain to Noah. He used Joseph to save his people. He freed the Israelites from their oppressors and gave them a land flowing with milk and honey. As these real people waited, God was faithful. He kept his promise and he worked wonders through waiting. God works wonders through waiting. You guys want to try one more time? I believe in this one. I do. Let's try one more time. Is this too much? Wait, you gotta wait for it.
Oh, no.
And point it at you and step back. Not this time.
Didn't.
Well, it's supposed to pop and make a big mess.
Can you pop it yourself? Just open it.
No, don't do it.
Do it. Do it.
Okay. We'll go outside after church and do it. Okay?
Yay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I got a question. Who is attentive to details? Who likes details? I do. Anybody else? If you like details, you would love Matthew. In his account of the life of Jesus, he included a lot of details. You can see here the beginning of what he wrote. Well, you can't really see it, but you can see a shape. In the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew records 42 generations of the genealogy of Jesus. And that lineage shows the result of Sarah's waiting. You trace it, after all those years of waiting to have a son of her own, that son Isaac appears in Jesus' family tree. So Sarah waited and waited. God worked wonders through her waiting and brought us to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I tell you why we need Jesus, why that's important? Well, I'm going to. So this is the Bible. If you don't know what the Bible is God's word to us. God spoke through people to those people and still speaks to us through his word today. So if you've ever said, man, I just wish God would speak to me, he does right here. You can hear it as loud as you want to read it. This is God speaking to us, relevant to us today. So at the very beginning of the Bible, of God's word, in the story of creation, our enemy, Satan, deceived the first man and woman that God created, and that caused them to be separated from God. So God told Satan, because you've done this, I will cause hostility between your offspring and her offspring, and he will strike your head. The train comes off the rail at the very beginning, and then God promises a Savior. The first man and woman were separated from God, and they pass that trait down to their ancestors, which is us. But God promises a Savior that would fix and end that separation, and that's Jesus. And God made that promise, and we waited. God made that promise to his people, and we waited for 4,000 years. And finally, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. And God showed great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So God worked wonders through our waiting and gave Jesus Christ as our Savior, and he didn't wait for us to be perfect. He did it while we were sinners. So he is not waiting for you to be perfect. He gave Jesus to have a relationship with you today. And there's no waiting. 2 Corinthians says, God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. There's no waiting, right? God loves you and gave Jesus to save you today. He's not waiting for you to drop the bad habits and start great ones. He wants a relationship with you today. So if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to just be very direct and say the only thing keeping you from him is you. Your choice to not accept it, because God has given him for you. He's invited you. The only thing separating you is that sometimes we think God demands and expects of us, when really his arms are open and says, my child, I love you. Come to me, I've done the work. You are loved. So it's up to us to accept that. It is a free gift waiting for you to accept. And God, I pray right now, anyone here who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that you would soften a heart that's been hardened by this world that can just so easily tear us down and break us apart. God, I just pray that you would show them the depth of your love for them. That anyone here wrestling with that question, that you would open their eyes and soften their heart to your love for them, your forgiveness in Christ. I pray this in his name. Amen. So I want to invite you to be very honest. And it's I would love it if somebody really raised their hand. Does the story of Sarah seem unrelatable? Does it seem irrelevant? It's okay if it does. Right? Like, we live in a digital age that hurries to eliminate waiting. So how can waiting be a good thing? Like that makes sense. Like, how can waiting be good? Or maybe you're waiting and you're just tired of it. And you did like Sarah and tried to find a solution on your own. You kind of just made the problem bigger, dug a deeper hole. Or maybe your feelings have changed while you've been waiting. Maybe you thought that God loved you, but in your waiting, you've experienced some pain, so now you wonder if he does. Or you thought that God had a plan, but it sure is hard to believe now after you've lived some life. Maybe your feelings have changed. But there's really good news that our feelings don't change God. Our waiting doesn't change his promises. You might wake up tomorrow and think, man, I'm all in. I'm going to pray for 6 hours today. I'm going to read my Bible for 7 hours today. That's great. You may wake up tomorrow and go, I don't know. This gets harder to believe every day. I just don't know. Either extreme you're at, that doesn't change who God is. And it doesn't change his love for you. Our feelings do not change God. He does not change. You must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. So God is not slow. Sometimes in our waiting, he's waiting, he's being patient, so we don't miss what he's doing in our waiting. So whatever your situation is that you might be waiting, instead of asking God what he can do for us, maybe we just take a step back and think about what he could accomplish through us and through our waiting. Let's put that prayer on the screen. Let's pray this together again. God, you are holy and in control. Thank you for giving me all that I need in Jesus. Help me not to ask what you can do for me today, but what you can accomplish through me. Help me to be willing and available for you to use. In Jesus' name, amen. So since we're waiting, I'm going to try in this series really hard to not force these scenarios of these characters on anybody, but to just help us see it in ourselves, for ourselves. So we've already been uncomfortable today, so we're going to do it a little more. I'm going to give us a minute or two of just being quiet. You can use that time to pray. You can use that time to think, like, well, am I waiting for anything? What am I waiting? What have I learned from waiting in the past? So we're just going to be quiet. Let's be honest. It's not going to be that quiet in here. That's okay. That's good. I love that. So, God, I just ask you to use this time that we are quiet, that I am not speaking, for you to speak to us. God, we thank you for your faithfulness in our waiting. I just think about the kids in this room. There are probably a lot of them who can't wait to be older, get to have the freedom and independence that comes along with being older. Then there's some of us who just wish time would slow down. We're in a season we don't want to speed by. And there are others of us who wish we could go back in time. God, but in all of it, in every scenario, you are faithful. You are good. You're in control. You're on your throne. And God, so when we know Jesus as our Savior, when we live in the hope and the confidence of who He is, we can trust you. We can take each day as it comes. Look for your goodness, for your work in our waiting. So we thank you for that. I pray for anyone who doesn't know that hope, that they would be softened today by your love for them. I thank you that we see in characters in the Bible that your people matter to you deeply. I pray that every person in this room would know today that love them. That you made them intentionally your image. That you know them. You delight in them. You sing over them. Your face shines on them. God, thank you for the gift we have of your word and your truth. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you'd stand, I'm going to invite Chris Wilson, the leader of our prayer team. Yeah, Chris, if you'd go to the back of the room. If you want to go pray, Chris will be available back there. Steve Pontius, one of our elders, will come up. I'm going to hang out. I'll hang out somewhere too. We'd love to pray with you. If God stirred something with you that you would like somebody to pray with you, we'd love to do that.